and welcome to the first episode of my podcast, A Mixed Bipolar Disorder Life, a mixed ultra rapid bipolar roller coaster. And yeah, ultra is actually a real thing, and I'll get that to that later. So I already have a blog that I started last year. It's titled the same thing, and the web address is bipolarmixed.wordpress.com. Mix being M-I-X-E-D, which is also one form of bipolar disorder that I will explain more later. And I started this blog to help educate friends and family about what I was going through. It was really difficult. First of all, it was difficult for me to understand what I was going through. And trying to explain it to family and friends was difficult for them to really grasp the challenges that I had. So I decided to write. My blog started out as a letter. I decided to write a letter, sort of a Christmas letter to family and friends about what I go through, so they could help understand, and not just understand what I go through, but understand what this label means, and get behind the label, and know that there's a real, you know, a human being behind it that has feelings and goals and dreams. And it was easier for them because they already knew me. But I'm hoping through my blog and through my podcast that whether you're someone that struggles with bipolar disorder, or someone that has a loved one that does, or whether you're just curious, that you'll learn and understand a lot more about this disorder and mental health in general. I'm also comorbid, as they say, in psychological terms, psychiatric terms, with other disorders, OCD, GAD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder, GAD, generalized anxiety disorder, DSPS, delayed phase sleep syndrome, a mouthful of acronyms, PTSD, and also Tourette's. And I will talk about all of those in another episode. But I have a lot to share and a lot to talk about, and I have been through a lot. Another thing I want to quickly add is, if you go through this podcast, you will definitely see changes in my mood and in, for instance, how quickly I'm speaking. So, for instance, this little segment I just inserted, my mood and energy and speed of thought and talking is sped up. So you'll probably notice it right away. But I think that's also really important to understanding what mixed bipolar disorder, but rapid cycling or cycling of bipolar disorder in generally can be like, in the differences. And of course, people can cycle, all different times, whether it's so many months, so many days, so many hours, or even years. So I digressed. I digress a lot, and that actually can be a sign of bipolar disorder, sort of a flighty mind when we jump from subject to subject. I'm not too bad right now. I am not hypomanic. I am not depressed. I'm sort of in the middle, which is a really, really good thing. It's good to be in the middle. So I started this blog as a Christmas letter. And then at 8 pages, I realized, okay, I cannot send out a Christmas letter that's 8 pages. No one will read it. Too much of a mouthful. But what I realized is it'd be the perfect blog. So I divided it up and I created this blog, and I've been writing the blog ever since and have a lot of different and varying posts that I will hope to reiterate a lot of the same stuff here. But you can also go to my blog, and if you click on a post, you can go to the very bottom and subscribe and get new blogs, because I will probably continue with the blog as well. I really enjoy writing. To finish this introduction, I want to tell you a little bit more about me. I was first diagnosed with bipolar disorder when I was 24. I am 50 now. At the time, it was more obvious after reading about the symptoms that I definitely had hypomanic episodes, had unrealistic periods, over-optimistic periods. What was interesting about and was until about 50 was that my bipolar symptoms cycled with my menstrual cycle, but also later on, I learned that my sleep and bipolar disorder episodes cycled with the moon. And for me, this strengthens the fact that I believe that bipolar disorder, just like my sleep disorder, are both circadian rhythm disorders. I'll talk more about that in another episode. But at the time I was diagnosed, I was going to a counselor, and I had tons of anxiety after breaking up with a boyfriend, and she was concerned about the anxiety. It took like 25 more years before I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder that I know of. I could have been diagnosed earlier than that, but before I realized how much anxiety I had. But it got real bad. I will admit that once I went home for lunch and drank a little wine because I was that wound up. I could have been having mixed episodes. I started having dizziness when I was exercising, and not full panic attacks, but, you know, obviously it was like my body saying, okay, something is going on here. And I know now subconsciously there was a lot of baggage and emotions and fear and anxiety about breaking up with this boyfriend. But anyways, my counselor suggested I go see a psychiatrist. I went and saw a psychiatrist who diagnosed me with bipolar disorder, NOS, not otherwise specified, meaning that she couldn't quite place me in one of the few bipolar categories that they had. They have much more extensive categories, if you want to call them, for different symptoms, different types of bipolar disorder now than they did at this time. This was 1994. The only problem, so I had depression, and in bipolar disorder, you don't usually start with an antidepressant unless someone's super depressed. And I was functional. I was working full time. But she started with antidepressant and a mood stabilizer at the same time, Tegretol, which it turned out I was allergic to. I had a big lump under my arm where my lymph node is there. And then I broke out into a rash. But anyways, I'm digressing again. Short story is that I went on a lot of different mood stabilizers and anti-anxiety medications and so forth. And the sad thing is that turns out I'm a super low dose person. Like the lowest amount of medication works very strongly for me. And they never tried low doses with me. It was just too much medication. I was over-medicated. I became almost a vegetable. I mean, literally, I'm not kidding you. I got to a point I couldn't even leave my house. I couldn't even sign my name at one point, and it was just so horrible. So after a year I went through this, I had to stop working. And what happened was, and this is something that needs to be considered for everyone that deals with mental health issues that is going to go on medications. And I think they're much better today if you find a good doctor. But I would have a side effect from the medication. And they would say, for instance, SSRIs make me at a starting dose. They literally, they'll help my anxiety, but then any a little bit higher, they make me depressed, like seriously apathetic, like so apathetic. I can't do anything but lie to bed, just go to bed. I'm not interested in even watching TV, which is usually my big depression thing. So I was over-medicated, became non-functional, became temporarily disabled until last mood stabilizer I was on, and I was hospitalized too. Last one I was on was Depakote, and again, too high of a dose, although I have not been on it since, but it gave me such brain fog, and the medications were so high, you know, affecting my cognition, that I really didn't understand what was going on with me. I didn't realize that I was so disabled. I mean, I wasn't able to like process this. And so he started tapering me off that Depakote, and suddenly it was like, woo, the fog lifted. And I realized, well, in my opinion, I was like, these guys don't know what the hell they're doing, because I lost a year of my life. I did. I lost a year of my life having to stop working, being over-medicated. So that, you know, that is something that one has to look out for. And again, nowadays, I think they're better at that just through my experience these days. But I also want to talk about the symptoms I had before that as a child. As a child, my mom was told more than once that I was hyperactive, that they thought I was hyperactive. Turns out I wasn't hyperactive in the ADHD sense, but it was the bipolar hypomania. And interestingly, the older I got, the less hypomanic I got and the more depressed I got, you know, as it kind of sat in as in later years, and understanding that I wasn't medicated from that 24, 25, something like that, you know, for 25 years. About 20 years. 20 years I wasn't medicated. But so I was hyperactive as a kid and super chatty. Oh my gosh, so talkative. It's like if you took the normal bipolar episode description and a diagnosis and you applied that to a little girl for hypomanic episodes, that was me. My mom was like, no, she's not hyperactive. She just has lots of energy like kids do. You know, kids have energy. And I don't think my mom wanted to believe that, you know, that anything was wrong with me in those days. It was the 70s, early 70s. And, you know, mental health was not discussed. It was something that, especially for her generation and generations before, that's something that you hid. Right? You didn't talk about it. And for a long time, no one talked about it very much. I'm really happy now that, you know, movie stars and pop stars or rock stars or whatever, music stars are coming out and talking about their mental health issues. And that just allows all of us to feel so much better about ourselves and our own struggles and that we are not alone. When I was diagnosed, I was a rapid cycler, but it wasn't really, the doctor really couldn't diagnose that yet. That wasn't diagnosed till years later, like 20 years later, when I was more aware of my mood changes. But we did notice a difference right before my period. I got super depressed. And the like 5 days I had my period were my best days ever. But I was hypomanic. I was not too high, but I would, you know, I had like tons of energy, would do all, you know, get all this stuff done, was very, very happy, very motivated. So sort of a mild hypomania. Luckily, I've never been too high in that direction, although unfortunately too low in the other direction. It's more like me. One of the most amazing things that I found when I sort of, as I say, came out of the closet about my bipolar disorder and my depression, which is also called bipolar depression because it is different in a lot of ways than major depression or major depressive episodes. But the thing that I realized is, wow, I am so not alone. The more I talk about it, the more I share it with people. Started with friends and family, started with family, of course, and then friends. And then now I've been opening up to strangers in a way. For instance, going to physical therapy. I told my physical therapist what I go through. The other day I had my hair cut and I was talking to the hairstylist about it. But the amazing thing that I found was all my friends, and literally all of them, said I either struggle with depression or I have experienced a major depression. And that included men, my male friends, not just my woman friends. I started with my woman friends and then I ventured out. And so what I realize is that depression and mental health is more the norm than not the norm. There is a book called The Happiness Trap. Trap as in trapdoor, T-R-A-P as in Paul, by Russ Harris. Subtitle, How to Stop Struggling and Start Living. Now, I'll admit, I didn't get through this book. It's a bit clinical, and even though I have a degree in psychology, I just found it difficult at the time to get through. And maybe because I wasn't happy, because I was depressed. But what really struck me was the preface. He lists statistics about depression. And for instance, one in two people, or 50% of humans, will experience a severe depression. And I can't remember if it was like one out of three or one out of four, but it was super high statistic. And it could be even as high as one out of two. I might be confusing them. But it was that they will consider suicide at least once in their life. And that was the part that just I found extremely shocking, that humans, practically every human, will actually think about that at least once in their life, consider it. And that's sad, but you have to ask, at least I ask myself, okay, why, right? Why would our bodies allow us to feel this way? Why do we feel depression? Why do we feel anxiety? And anxiety, you know, I think is a little bit easier if you want to talk about the flight or fight response, that they believe developed from caveman days when we, you know, we ran across danger and we had to decide, are we going to face it and fight or are we going to run away? But depression is a little bit more to rationalize, like what serves depression or how does it serve us? And the only thing that I can figure out, and I would love to hear your ideas too, is that it's our body trying to tell us that something needs to be looked at, that something's important. You know, maybe we're worn out. Maybe we need to take care of ourselves. Maybe we just, you know, we're grieving about a loss and have not really fully grieved about that loss. A lot of different things. So now I feel a lot more comfortable talking about my depression. I'm talking about my other symptoms, my hypomania, my mixed hypomania, which is horrible, my sleep disorder, my sleep issues, my struggles, and feeling less alone, feeling less ashamed, realizing that I am still the wonderful person that I am. And in fact, through my suffering, I feel like I've become a much better person. And of course, a much more humble person, which has allowed me to be a much more empathetic person. Before moving on, some thoughts here. I realized I wanted to correct a couple of things. The first about when I was talking about caveman days. Obviously, flight or fight was there before that. I was wrong in saying it came from those days. I didn't really mean that. Obviously, animals have flight or fight. But the point I was trying to make was, in the days before we had full-time jobs where we had to go in office and sit down, or we had to deal with crazy schedules, maybe a mom taking kids here and there, picking them up from school, taking them to soccer, blah, 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 and other kind of stresses that society has now that we didn't have, you know, in those caveman days. In the caveman days, it would be more like a flight or fight when someone is waging war on our tribe, or when we're faced with a dangerous animal. So the point being that today we have all these stresses that cause our body to feel and have the same responses as we would when we would face a real reality, when a lot of our stressors can be changed and can be avoided. A lot of them can't be, but they're different than before society advanced to where it is, or where it became hundreds of years ago. The second thing I wanted to make sure there wasn't a misunderstanding when I was talking about why the body gets depressed, and that's that obviously people with mental health disorders get depressed without a reason, and that's a really important note that I want to make sure that I make and that my listeners understand. Stress can cause an episode. Stress can cause someone to become more depressed, or to have a manic episode, or to make their schizophrenia worse, etc. Stress is definitely, as the cliche says, a killer. Stress can, you know, have illness come on and make illnesses worse, for sure. I have a nephew who is going to have a baby, and he's young and wasn't ready for it, and started having problems with his heart, tachycardia, and they didn't know what caused it, but I definitely think it was stress. So obviously there is episodic depression as well, but the point being that it seems like everyone will experience depression at some point in their life, whether it's episodic, whether it's just caused by brain chemistry that's off, and some people get over it more quickly than others. Some people have repeated depression. So just wanted to clear those up. When I was in high school, apparently my mood cycled. And when I went to the psychiatrist years later, I do remember telling her that, you know, she asked questions like, do your friends ever describe you as being bubbly or talking too fast or not being able to keep up with your train of thought, something around that description? And I'd be like, yes, oh my gosh, yes. I just thought I was really smart, which I laugh about now, which is kind of a narcissistic thing to say, you know, kind of 20s high schoolish thing to say. But I mean, that's what I thought. I thought people can't keep up with me because I'm just too smart that, you know, I'm able to go from topic to topic to topic and see connections here and here and here. But it turns out that that was a symptom of bipolar disorder. It's the mind working so quickly that people have a hard time keeping track and keeping up with it. One of the things that surprised me when I had my 30th high school reunion a couple years ago, and my best friend in high school, we hadn't seen and talked to each other in many years. And when we did, you know, I told her, hey, you know, I really am bipolar, because I had let her know after that first diagnosis in my 20s, where then I vehemently denied that I had bipolar disorder at all. But she said, you know, you cycled in high school, your moods change. I was like, wow, really? I was just shocked, because that was the first person to really notice, to really observe that, and realize later, obviously not quite then, what was going on, but that my mood cycled. My parents, they'd say, like, you're wound up. That they'd use expressions like that. Well, you're wound up today. And they knew I suffered from depression, but never, you know, made that click that my moods were cycling and this was part of bipolar disorder. So I am going to end there, because there's so much more to talk about. I have so much more to share. I do a lot of research. I read a lot of studies, and obviously I share from my own experiences and my own hypotheses and theories as well. So I hope you enjoyed this introduction and a teaser for what will come, and will subscribe to my podcast and or blog, and listen to what else I have to say. Thanks. If you decide to go to my blog post, start with the introduction. It'll give you sort of some background, as well as how to go through the blog, how it's ordered. And then if you click on a blog post, any blog post that you're on, if you scroll down to the very bottom, there is a place for you to subscribe. I'm looking at there right now, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, where do you go? Scrolling to the bottom. There you go. Okay, you have to go to the very bottom, the footer, above the tags, it says follow my blog by email. You can enter your email in there and click follow and get notifications and pieces of my blog through email. Lastly, I just want to first thank you guys for all your support. I so appreciate all the great reviews and comments that you've already left, and please ask that you can continue them. The reason why I do this is to help people, and when I get your feedback through your great reviews or comments and sharing, then I feel like that this is worth it, and it helps encourage me to go on, and especially to keep doing this. So please, I would appreciate if you could take the time to leave me feedback. Obviously, positive feedback preferred. That would just be wonderful. And that allows me to move higher up in these podcast apps to reach more people. And that's the goal. That's what I want to do, is to help you and your loved ones. I also want to remind you that I have a blog, that's bipolarmixed.wordpress.com. So it's the disorder first, bipolar, then mixed, M-I-X-E-D. .wordpress.com. Lastly, I have to thank my friend Jill Moran for her wonderful music in the beginning and the end. She is a composer, and she recently started out doing composing for film and podcasts and everything else you can think of. She did an original score for me. She can do music for you, and she is very reasonable and moving up quickly. You can reach her on Twitter at jillmimo.com. That's J as in Jill, I-L-L, M as in Mary, I as in India, M as in Mary, O, Jill at jillmimo on twitter.com. Okay, thanks, guys. God bless you. I wish you well. Hang in there, and I will see you next, or talk to you next time.